Shabbat Shalom, everybody. It is the Sabbath. Amen. And I know you're still sheltered in place. Things are not like we hope for them to be. And because of that, a lot of people's anxiety and stress is up. I want to read, before we get into the Shabbat and the rest of God, I want to read you some statistics that I found on a website called Behavioral Health. And I was looking up anxiety and anxiety disorders. And before we get started, we want to pray first. Father, we love you tonight, this Shabbat. Father, I ask that you give us that Shabbat Shalom, that Sabbath rest, Sabbath peace tonight, Lord God, and into tomorrow. And Father, I pray that you anoint our ears to hear and our hearts to receive your word tonight. In the mighty name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus our Messiah, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. You know, you can still amen me by texting amen. Okay, and stay engaged with us. Glory to God. Here's what the behavioral health said. They said there were five different categories of anxiety disorder. The first one is generalized anxiety disorder, or called GAD. People with GAD are constantly worried, about one or more things, such as their health or finances, even if there's no cause for concern. I've had some people say they don't have sound, but okay, Kerry. The second category is panic disorder. This disorder is characterized by panic attacks, which are short but intense periods of severe distress. Then the third one was called social anxiety disorder, or SAD. People with social anxiety disorder are extremely self-conscious in social situations and will often self-isolate to try and avoid them. The other one is obsessive compulsive disorder, or OCD. This disorder causes recurring intrusive thoughts and anxiety. People with OCD often use repetitive ritualistic behavior to try and calm their anxieties. According to this website, we've got somebody else saying they don't have sound. Somebody else said they do. Hallelujah. According to this study, 6.8 million people have GAD, 6 million have panic disorder, 15 million have social disorders, and 2.2 million have OCD, while 19 million have a specific phobia or fear of something. So you see that there are 40 million people in America that suffer some type of anxiety disorder. Now, most of those people are on medicine. If you're one of those people and that medicine helps you, you stay on it. Amen? But I'm here to tell you tonight that I believe that if the Sabbath is observed properly, it can help you. It will help relieve that anxiety and that stress. And I want to talk to you a little bit about that tonight. But I want to go to Matthew 11, verse 28. Matthew 11, 28. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I hope everybody's got their sound on. I've had a couple text messages saying I... So anyway, it's probably your computer because we know the sound is on. You can also go to Facebook Live on my web page, or my Facebook page, and you should be able to hear me there. Matthew 11. Matthew 11. Hallelujah. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight, All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Turn with me, if you would, over to Psalms. So there's a promise from Jesus of rest. Amen. Turn with me to Psalms chapter 37. Chapter 37. I want to start in verse 1. The Bible says, do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Verse 5, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Rest in Yahweh and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. God's word here tells us that if we'll wait patiently on him, he will give us rest. And the psalmist tells us, don't fret. Jesus said, don't worry. He said, if God the Father knows and looks out for the sparrows, how much more is he going to look after you and I? So don't fret, don't worry. Now that's easy to say, but sometimes it's not easy to do. Somebody say amen or oh me, it's true, right? So let's go over to Hebrews 4 real quick. Hebrews 4, I truly believe that if in our culture, in American culture, we would truly observe Shabbat every Friday, and we would understand the full meaning of Shabbat and what it means to have God's rest, we could relieve some of the anxiety and the stress that Americans are under. And if you're in Hebrews chapter 4, let's start in verse 9. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. That's a promise that there is a rest, a godly rest for the people of God. Notice it doesn't say for the people of this world or for the Satan's kids, right? For evil. It says the people of God. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. Verse 10, for he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent. Now look what the writer of Hebrews says. He says be diligent to enter that rest. There is a rest that comes from God, a peace, a quietness of soul that comes from God. And the writer of Hebrews says, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. Amen. So there is a rest of God, a quietness of soul, a sanctuary in time that should be free from anxiety and fretting and worrying. And you should be at peace and in harmony with those around you in your household. Amen? So, let's go to our notes now. So, the whole lesson tonight is we want to find this peace of God. We want to begin to diligently enter that rest. Amen? Number one in your notes, the Siddur liturgy, a Siddur is a Jewish prayer book, and in those prayers, the liturgy of those prayers, it summarizes the treasured place of the Sabbath in Jewish tradition with these words: last in creation, first in intention. Shabbat is the crown of creation and the first thing declared holy by the Creator. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, according to Genesis 2:3. So what does it mean that Shabbat is the crown of creation? That it is last in creation, but first in intention. God created the heavens and the earth all in 6 days, right? And he created that for you and I, for mankind. But then he created Shabbat. And on Shabbat, he created rest. Amen? So, the whole creation, the whole earth, God prepared to put man in it. Amen? So that made Sabbath, the seventh day, that made it last in creation. But God's heart, his intention was to make that Sabbath because it would be on that Sabbath that man and God would be ahad, or one. Glory to God. In the presence of God, there is fullness of joy. Amen? Turn with me to number two, or you don't have to turn there, you're already there. Number two in your notes: the 6 days of creation are good, but only the seventh day is hallowed or made holy. With the Sabbath, time itself becomes sanctified, and the resulting redemptive rhythm pervades and punctuates the whole of Jewish life. Amen? So crown is your first blank. Redemptive rhythm pervades and punctuates the whole of Jewish life. Redemptive is your blank. You know what? As Christians, our redemption should pervade and punctuate our whole life. The reason many of us are here today is because of the redemption that God the Father has provided in his Son, Yeshua, our Messiah. Amen. How often do we even speak about us being redeemed, being the redeemed of the Lord? How often do we talk about that? That should permeate our lives. That redemption, the fact that we've been reconciled to God, we are no longer strangers and without a covenant and without a promise. We are no longer an enemy to God, but because of God's redemptive plan, we have now been reconciled to the Father. That should be prevalent in our lives every day. Amen. Even if it's just a thought, your thought. Hopefully you'll share it with somebody else. But guess what? You get up tomorrow morning. Let that redemptive action of God, let it prevail in the morning. You have a new day. You have breath in your life because God has given you an extra day. And guess what? You're no longer a slave to sin, but you are a child of the living God. Amen? That should, if you just think on that for a moment or two, that should lift some burden, some anxiety, some stress. Amen? Number three in your notes: the Sabbath is expressed in creation, but the principle of Sabbath is commanded of Israel at Mount Horeb. Both aspects, creation and redemption, are alluded to in the Decalogue or the Ten Commandments. In Exodus 28, the children of Israel were told to zakor, or remember. Remember is your blank. Remember the Sabbath in view of creation. Glory to God. In Deuteronomy 5:12, the children are commanded to observe, or shamor, the Sabbath in light of the Exodus. In either case, the seventh day is to be sanctified unto the Lord. Now, what's this mean? In Jewish tradition, when they keep the Sabbath or Shabbat, they are reminded that it was a creation of God, that God created it and God commanded. Remember, he said, remember the Sabbath. And a couple weeks ago, we taught on what it means to remember. Remember, the word zakor in Hebrew carries the idea of speaking on or acting on behalf of. Remember, when God remembered the children of Israel were in slavery, what did he do? He acted on their behalf. He went and found Moses on the backside of the desert, and he spoke to Moses through a burning bush, and he sent Moses to deliver them. So God remembered the children of Israel. He acted on their behalf. For you and I to remember the Sabbath, we must keep it holy. Amen? Set it apart. Let it be unique. Let it be other than any other day of the week. Somebody say amen or oh me. I'm not talking about going to church on Sunday. I'm talking about you and your wife, your family, taking some time on Shabbat. Make some of that beautiful, and I hope I've got some ladies trying to make that challah bread. We're having a little trouble in this southern Ohio Valley here getting it to rise, but I'm hopeful that we'll have, you know, by the next class, we'll have some of that good, fluffy, sweet challah bread that they make for Shabbat. And so Shabbat is a time for God and family, amen? And it's a time of rest to get away from the anxiety and the stress of everyday life and to come into that sanctuary in time and have that peace of God that passes all understanding. Okay, we are at number 4 in your notes. So your blank in 3 is remember. Okay, so they remember the Sabbath, and then they also speak on Shabbat, they speak of the redemption or the deliverance that when they came out of Egypt. And you know, for you and I as Christians, we keep Shabbat. We should remember the creation, right? You're created by God. We should remember the creation that Shabbat has hallowed, but we should also remember that we have been delivered or freed from the slavery of sin. Glory to God. Number 4 in your notes, whether we operate under the Mosaic covenant enjoined at Mount Sinai or the renewed covenant in Yeshua's blood effected at Calvary, Shabbat teaches us much about the Lord of the Sabbath, his intent in creation, and our place in his world. Apart from the legal precept or obligation upon Israel, the Sabbath is a creation principle relevant to everyone who calls on the name of the Lord. I'm telling you, I believe the Sabbath is relevant to Christian and Jew. You say, well, Pastor, you know, we're not Jews. We're not required to keep Shabbat. Well, I'm going to tell you this. Keeping the Sabbath is not a heaven or hell issue. It has nothing at all to do with your forgiveness of sins, because you're saved by God's grace through faith, through the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. But I'm telling you, to observe Shabbat can radically, radically enhance your relationship with God the Father. And that's what Jesus said eternal life was, knowing the Father and the Son. Glory to God. All right, let me keep going. I'm getting on rabbit trails. I got to stay on point. Number 5, the Sabbath is a testimony to the wonders of the creation and the greatness of the Creator. Consider the wisdom and power of the Sabbath to expand our perspective and enhance our relationship with the Holy One of Israel. The world as created by God is wondrous and good. The Sabbath reminds us of this. Nature is not to be worshipped, but it should be celebrated as God's handiwork. Consecrating the Sabbath confirms the biblical account of the creation and acknowledges the ethical implications of it. So your blank in number 5 is wondrous glory. Number 6, the world is the intentional act of Yahweh, to whom we are responsible and before whom we shall all give a reckoning one day. The moral mandates of ethical monotheism, central both to Judaism and Christianity, hang on the essential truth of the Genesis account of creation, concluding with the Sabbath. God created the heavens and the earth as an intentional act. God created Shabbat as an intentional act. But when God was creating, when he was creating during that 6 day, he was creating a place for you and I to live. But his intention, that creation of those 6 days, he was wanting that to point you to that Shabbat and to that rest of God, where you would spend time with God in Yahad, in oneness, unity with the Father. Moral is your blank there, number six. And you know, like I said, you're a Christian. This is not a heaven and hell issue. Keeping the Sabbath is not a heaven and hell issue. But you know what? I didn't get saved simply so I could go to heaven someday. Just hang on, hold out, you know, make the best of a bad situation. And then when I die, I experience eternal life. My spirit gets to go be with Jesus. No, I believe what Jesus said in John 17. Eternal life is knowing the Father and the Son. I don't know about y'all, but I need God in my marriage. I need God in my finances. I need God in my business. I need God in my church. I need God in my children's life. I need God in every area of my life right here, right now. When I die, I'll be with the Lord. So I won't need God down here on earth. But right now, I need him here. And America and the world needs God right now, as we're under attack from, as our president calls it, an invisible enemy. This COVID-19 virus, you know, it has people holed up. It has people fearful. Somebody in the healthcare field told me the other day that they took something out to the car. This lady, she had a scarf on, she had gloves on, she had a mask on, and she was handing something to the lady in the car. And the lady said, "Oh, don't touch me." Because she was so fearful, so stressed out. I'm telling you, America needs God. We need an awakening. Amen? All right, moving right along. I'm taking a lot of rabbit trails. I thought this would be a short teaching. I try to keep them short, especially when we're on Facebook Live. So let's move right along. Number seven, the Sabbath is the telos of creation in two senses. The word telos is a Greek word that can mean the end of something, or it can mean the goal of something. So the Sabbath is the telos of creation in two senses, both as it is finished and as its goal. In 6 days, God created the heavens and the earth. On the seventh day, the good became hallowed, holy. Remember, God created the heavens and the earth. He called it what? Good. The Sabbath completed and culminated God's work of creating and pointed to the goal of creation. In the Bible, the world is good, but not intrinsically holy. So while God created the heavens and the earth, and he called it good, he took the Shabbat and he made it holy. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise his mighty name. Praise his mighty name. I apologize if you're watching on Facebook Live. Somebody is trying to call me. I thought this thing blocked those calls, but evidently not. So there we are. We're back on Facebook Live. Don't try to call me, okay, whoever you are. Here we go. We are still at seven. The Sabbath completed and culminated God's work of creating and pointed to the goal of creation. In the Bible, the world is good, but not intrinsically holy. Only God, in partnership with man, made in his image, can sanctify it. The Sabbath, by God's act and by man's acknowledgement, hallows the creation. Sanctifying the seventh day fashions the world of man into a habitation suitable for divine dwelling. You know, God called the Sabbath holy, right? And he told us to remember it. The way we remember it is we treat it as holy. We treat it as unique and different and other than. Amen? Number eight, on Shabbat, a man and his maker dwell in Yahad, or unity, in a special way. Mutually, they create a Shabbat Kodesh, a Sabbath of holiness. This union of intimate covenantal partnership is the goal and the passion of the Holy One who created man. God intentionally created the Sabbath for you and I to be one with Him. Every Sabbath kept, every seventh day hallowed, points to the eventual destiny of the creation itself. The finite world shall become the dwelling of the infinite God, the abode of His glory. And in the day the whole earth shall experience Shabbat Shalom. Listen, the Sabbath is just a small part of what God desires. God desires to dwell in His people, to dwell with His people, amen? And someday Jesus is going to step back down on the Mount of Olives. He is going to rule and He's going to reign here from the Temple Mount, amen? But until He comes, we can experience that presence of God, that God here on the earth dwelling with us as we keep Shabbat or the Sabbath. Number 9, to sanctify the Sabbath is to set the day apart from all that is common, ordinary, and profane. It is not the earthly things that are evil. God has deemed all that is in the earth tov or good. That is why we give Him thanks for the good things of the earth, like bread and wine. So bread is your blank and 9, passion is your blank and 8, and partnership your blank and 7. I went pretty fast there. But during our labors in the earth, we are to create a sanctuary in time for the things of the Spirit. We must learn to set aside every seventh day unto the Lord and to the things of the Lord. You know, this sanctuary in time where we think about spiritual things. I was watching the news today, and they did a study that people right now, since we've had the stay-at-home orders, people are watching over 8 hours of television, binge-watching. How many know there's very rarely anything spiritual on Netflix or Amazon Prime or Hulu or Vudu or any of those media places? Amen? So that tells me there's a lot of Americans that are just watching vast amounts of mind-numbing television. All right, we're at number 10. The Hebrew root word for holy is kadosh, and it means to mark off, set apart, or make distinct. Holiness adheres intrinsically only in God. He is kadosh, kadosh, kadosh by His very nature, according to Isaiah 6:3. All else becomes holy only when set apart unto Him and His service. His holiness can be manifest in space, time, and people. To hallow the Sabbath, therefore, is to set the day apart from all common, ordinary activities, though they may be good, and to consecrate the day, oneself, and your home unto the Maker of heaven and earth. Whew! Service is your blank there in number 10. I'm telling you, if we observe Sabbath, we would get rid of many of our anxiety, disorders, and fears, and stress, and strife. Okay, number 11. When we sanctify the Sabbath, we in turn are set apart as God's peculiar people and treasured possession. The Sabbath concept is not a natural occurrence. It is a supernatural opportunity set by God. The seven-day cycle is not self-evident in the natural order of things. Neither the monthly lunar cycle, which is 29 days, or the annual solar cycle, which is 365 days, is divisible by 7. The 7-day week we take for granted was unknown and was unknown to the ancient pagan world. This seventh-day Sabbath is a supernatural event set by God. Hallelujah. 12, the Sabbath represents sacred time. Time is your blank. Set in place by the act of the Holy One. It became the principal and powerful symbol of the always unique covenantal relationship with His elected people, Israel. Hallelujah. The Sabbath was a mark on God's people. Amen. Everybody's looking for the mark of the beast. You know, I'm not saying, you know, that, but God does say that He marks His own. I believe that's with the Holy Spirit. But, you know, if you kept Shabbat, it would be a mark that you are part of God's family, part of God's people. Amen. 13, the Sabbath is a sign or symbol that bears visible witness to the enduring covenantal partnership between God and his people. It is holy by God's decree, and it sanctifies or hallows those who honor it. Like the wedding band symbolically sets apart a bride as holy and covenanted to her husband, so the Sabbath signifies that Israel is set apart exclusively unto the Lord as his treasured people. It distinguishes them from all other nations as the people with whom God has chosen to make his dwelling. Let me say that again. You know, every now and then, if I'm doing something and I take my wedding band off, and sometimes I'll forget to put it back on, and my wife will say, "Where's your ring? Where's your wedding ring?" Why? She wants me to wear that ring because that ring marks me as I've been set apart for her. Amen? So she'll ask me about that. Well, when the children of Israel came to Mount Sinai, God said what he would do, and they said, "Whatever, everything you've said, we'll do it." So they took their wedding vows at Sinai. In Jeremiah 31, when God is telling them that there's going to be a new covenant, he reminds them that they broke their covenant with him, that he had brought them out of Egypt to be a husband to them. And the Sabbath became their wedding band to God. Amen? I never saw that before. So that Sabbath marked God's people. Number 14, in remembering the Sabbath, we honor the Creator by giving up our creations. For 6 days, we labor in the world for our own ends. We create, control, and subdue the world around us. One day, we are asked to remember the Creator and return our creations and ourselves back to His dominion. Shabbat reminds the Pharaoh in us that the earth is the Lord's. It is only on loan to us. We show humble submission to our Creator by ceasing from our creations on the seventh day. In doing so, we imitate and thereby honor Him. Pharaoh is your blank in number 14. 15. Shabbat reminds us that we too belong to Him. We must put ourselves and the work of our hands on the altar of God. The Creator enjoins us to exercise dominion and stewardship of the earth. But that can be done properly only by regularly submitting to the dominion of another. In the Sabbath, we acknowledge the Creator as King. We set apart the day unto Him and His sovereignty. Only under His rule to experience fullness of peace. In Shabbat, we find shalom. Peace or wholeness. Dominion is your blank in 15. 16. To refrain from work is one thing. To enter God's rest is another. On Shabbat, we are to cease from our labors. But we also are to imitate our Creator and enter His rest. That's what the writer of Hebrews said. Enter His rest. Be diligent to enter His rest. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. I don't have time. You don't know what all I have to do on Saturday. You know what? Why don't you just try, you know, when we get to the end of this teaching, I'm going to show you how to keep Shabbat on a Friday evening, okay? And then why don't you practice right now spending a little extra time on Saturday morning with God in prayer. We have a lot to pray about in America. Amen. We need a revival. Glory to God. We need to be free from this COVID-19 virus. We need our economy put back in place. Amen. We need jobs restored. But you know what? More than all that, we need God's presence in our life. And I'm just telling you, I know some of you are saying, well, you know, in our culture, we don't keep Shabbat. Well, maybe we ought to try. Maybe we ought to try just to give God a little extra time. Glory to God. Just try it. Get up tomorrow, brush your teeth, get fresh breath, and speak to God You know, maybe meditate on the Word of God and speak to God and pray to God. You know, spend a couple hours with God. See if that doesn't change your life. Bring down that anxiety and that stress that you're dealing with every day. Okay. See, I don't have anybody here, so I don't know where I left off. Okay, here we go. I'm going to read 16 again. I know I read part of it. To refrain from work is one thing. To enter God's rest is another. On Shabbat, we are to cease from our labors, but we also are to imitate our Creator and enter His rest. Just taking a day off from work is not sanctifying the Sabbath, nor does it satisfy the soul. For that to occur, we must enter the Sabbath rest. Number 17. Enter is your blank there in number 16. 17. On the seventh day, God completed His work which He had done, and He rested on the seventh day, according to Genesis 2:2. What work did He complete the seventh day? Let's ask the rabbis. The rabbis will tell you He created menuach, rest. On the Sabbath, it was holy, but He did create rest. Amen. 18. Menuach is more, menuach. Here's how you spell it if you're spelling your blank. It's right there in 18. M-E-N-U-A-C-H. Menuach, or rest. Menuach is more than freedom from toil, work, and activity. It is freedom for something. It's not just freedom from something. It's freedom for something. There's an intention, something intentional God wants you. The reason God wants you to be free from work is so you will be free for tranquility, free for peace, free for quietness of soul. When we sanctify the seventh day, we cease from our labors for His rest. Shabbat is not a self-indulgent vacation so much as it is a spiritual invocation, glory to God, or a spiritual meeting. You and God. Vacation is your blank there in 18. We invite God by His Spirit to lead us beside the waters of rest and restore our souls, according to Psalms 23. We build a sanctuary in time, and the Holy Spirit comes in, fills it with the shalom, or the peace of God. You know that peace of God that Jesus promised? He said, "My peace I leave with you, the peace that passes all understanding." You know, I was talking to, actually I was talking to my sister, and Ina's job is to keep her brother straight, to keep us engaged. No, I'm just kidding. She might be watching. But she told me, you know, we're going through some difficulties with business. It's not so much difficulty as it is we're not sure what's going to happen, okay, with low oil prices. But she said to me, you know, with everything going on, she says, "I'm at peace. I'm not worried. I'm not fretting. I'm at peace." And see, that's supernatural. That's God's rest. That's somebody who knows their God. Amen. And that's the rest. That's the rest and the peace that Shabbat should bring to us when we observe it. 19. In this sacred time, we find harmony. Talking about the Sabbath. In this sacred time, we find harmony. Harmony is your blank. Between man and nature, and between each other. We come unto Him and He gives us rest. The rest of God, entering the rest of God, should include love freely given. No strings attached. God loves you as you are. Fat, skinny, tall, ugly, or beautiful like some of us. Just kidding, everybody relax. I realize I'm old and I'm going bald, okay? I know that. I was just trying to be funny. Love freely given. Truth and sincerity. Peace and tranquility. Quietude. Safety and assurance. Those are the things that the rest of God includes. Amen. I'm going to read you that list again. Experiencing love freely, that's freely given. Truth and sincerity. Peace and tranquility. Quietude or quietness of soul, safety and assurance. Glory to God. I'll tell you what, I think if we began to experience those things on Friday evening through the day Saturday, we would begin to look for that weekend even more than we do right now. You know, we work all week and we're ready for Friday. We're ready for that weekend. I think if we began to experience the true peace and rest of God, it would be something that we would really look forward to. We would run to Shabbat. 20, we're on the last page of your notes. We'll be finished here shortly. 20, to hallow the Sabbath is to sanctify God's name. When you keep Sabbath, when you keep it holy, you separate it from the rest of the week, you are sanctifying God's name. The seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God, according to Exodus 20:10. Shabbat is made for man, but unto the Lord. The spiritual discipline is your blank in 20, of Sabbath observance brings peace into our homes and holiness into our world. He blesses man and honors God. He blesses man and honors God. By our conduct, treating this day as holy, we sanctify God's name. 21, Shabbat counters our natural tendencies toward idolatry and self-centeredness. It reminds us that our lives are to be thoroughly, intensely God-centered, worshiping Him alone. Remembering the Sabbath redeems time and turns our hearts back to those things that pertain to the Father and His priorities. It is a holy day set apart for family and friends, study and prayer, scripture and nature. Your blank is hearts. In number 21, 20 was discipline. 22, in Psalms 19 is read as part of the Sabbath morning liturgy in the Jewish prayer book called the Siddur. This inspired scripture attributed to David has two movements. The first verses, 1 through 6, praises God for the wonders of the world. The heavens are telling of the glory of God. Their expanse is declaring the work of His hands. David is your blank there in number 22. 23, the second verses, found in Psalms 19, verses 7 through 14, esteems God for the beauty of His word. The law, or Torah, of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord are pure, enlightening the eyes. Testimony is your blank. So there, I've gave you a passage of scripture to start reading on Shabbat. Psalms 19. 24, your last one. Don't hang up on me. I got a little bit to cover after we get done with 24. On Shabbat, we commune with God in both ways, celebrating His creation and considering His revelation. In all ways, we desire to honor, esteem, and exalt Him. His name is holy, and we choose to honor it by hallowing this day that He has made. He is the Lord God, maker of heaven and earth. So we sanctify the Sabbath and are in turn sanctified by Him for doing so. May His name be praised and may His peace cover all the earth. Abraham Heschel, in his book on the Sabbath, said this, "Not a depreciation, but an affirmation of labor. A divine exaltation of its dignity." Talking about the Sabbath. "We are suddenly lifted out of the process of time, removed from the world of nature and social change. Instead of creating the world anew, we are at one with the world created. We are not beasts of burden. We should not live to work. We should not be changed to routine. Shabbat unchains us. The Sabbath offers us a moment of quiet, of serenity, of self-transcendence, a moment that allows us to seek and achieve an eternal peace." What Heschel said about the Sabbath, he said it offers us a moment of quiet and of serenity, of self-transcendence. We can transcend by observing the Sabbath and being one with God. We can transcend above all the stress, all the strife, all the anxiety that the work week has brought upon us. I'm telling you, I believe that if we observe the Shabbat and we work diligently to enter the rest of God, we would be free from many of the things that cause us anxiety, that cause us stress, and cause us pain. Father, I love you, I praise you, I magnify you. I ask that you bless everyone watching and listening tonight. Bless them with Shabbat Shalom, your rest on this Sabbath. And for Church of the King, I will see you Sunday morning at 10:30 for Sunday school and 11:45 for the worship service. God bless you, and until then, Shabbat Shalom. Be at peace with your family, be at peace with your neighbor, be at peace with God, and enjoy Shabbat Shalom. Amen.